Job. And we have one more handout. Oh, I know those yellow notebooks are getting thick. But I never get overly used to hearing the notebooks click open. You know what I mean? Okay, well, we're getting close to being halfway through the book of Job, so a couple more years or first year of the millennium. I mean, all right. Okay, chapter 18. So here we have Bildad. Bildad is speaking and going after Job. Round two with Bildad. So in the outline up above there, you see the chapter 18 deals with criticism of Job's words, 18, 1 through 4, and paralleling that is the caution about Job's wickedness, chapter 18, verse 21. And then in between are two main points, the wicked has no hope in life and the wicked has no hope in death. So, in these two themes here, B and B prime here, these are certainly biblically true concerning the wicked. And so, as we're considering what Job had to say here, and Bildad had to say, rather, to Job, we find that we're in the second round here. Bildad has great frustration with Job because Job won't listen to these wise men, and he won't listen to the sages of the past. And so he wants Job to stop talking and listen to his counsel. He's warning Job now, don't stay on the path of the wicked. You have no hope, Job. And obliteration is coming. Now what he says here is true about the unsaved. So this is something to consider here, to be sure. The Lord does deal with the wicked. Now, in the case of Job, and as he points to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was Satan wanted to destroy him without cause. That's in Job 2:3. And so there was nothing in Job's life as far as in his heart a sinful thought or in his practice something sinful. This was a contest between him and Satan, or between God and Satan, and so there was no cause to bring about this judgment on Job's life, because the Lord knew his heart, and so on. Now, Job did have a problem with righteousness, self-righteousness, and so this is really the battle here. So the battle might be, I'm right with God. I examine my heart. There's no unconfessed sin in my heart. I don't haven't done any evil practices here and so on, evil things and so on. So as far as I know, I'm right with the Lord, and I'm so proud of it. That's the problem. The problem is that we get puffed up in our righteousness. Now we need to say, and by God's grace, He has blessed me and so on, but I'm still a sinner, and Christ is everything, I'm nothing. All right, so so Bildad does give this presentation here of what happens to the wicked and those that are on the path of the wicked, and there are passages in the Scripture that help justify his points and so on. So as he begins here, dealing with him in verses 16 through 20, and then we'll look at 21. he wants to talk about the wicked has no hope, the wicked man, that is, which is Job. We're talking about Job here. So Mr. Wicked Man Job, that's what we were talking about, has no hope in death. All right, so here he picks this up in verse 16. His roots shall be dried up, beneath and above shall his branch be cut off. So first of all, we see, talks about his roots. His roots, so his roots below. This has to do with his body. His roots shall be dried up beneath. And so that's what happens to people who die. Their bodies dry up. Their roots dry up. In fact, here he's espousing what the Lord told Adam there. If you look there in Genesis once again. And verse 19, so this is Genesis 3:19, where the Lord told Adam, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So that's our lot physically. It's what's going to happen to our body when we die. We'll turn to dust. And I'm sure many of the graves that had bodies in them several hundred years ago, basically all there is left is dust. And that's where our bodies are going to end up, in the grave, turning into dust. We're made out of dust, made out of the ground. We're going to return to dust. And so certainly this is true. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. So he's talking about roots and then branch. So the branch coming out of a stump, as it were. But we have at least three occasions of this in Scripture, of the cutting off of the branch, or the future, you might say. A tree that's cut down, it has a branch, comes out, and the branch starts to live. And so he gives three examples of the branch being cut off, and these have to do with kings. So let's look there in 1 Kings chapter 13. And this deals with Jeroboam. First Kings chapter 13. And verse 34. All right, so this has to do with Jeroboam's sin. So remember, Jeroboam got the part of the kingdom here, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and so Jeroboam had the northern kingdom. So verse 34 says, this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. And so here is a prophecy about Jeroboam and his offspring, or the house of Jeroboam. This would be the descendants of Jeroboam. The house of so-and-so. And so it's going to be cut off. It's a literal example. So what Bildad is saying here is true. The wicked's future is going to be cut off. The branch is going to be cut off. Their house is going to be cut off. The Lord is going to deal with them and their descendants here. Again, in chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, so therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam and will cut off from Jeroboam. And he's going to cut off the offspring. Verse 11 talks about him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat. And of course, this came to pass as well with Jezebel. All right, then we have another individual here. This is Baasha, another king, chapter 16. 3 through 7. And I will take away the prosperity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and will make his house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. All right, so he's going to be just like Jeroboam here. His lineage, his house is going to be cut off. This is the challenge that's given there. And, see, he's leveling this at Job. So what happened to Job's children? They all died. So it looks like Job's house is going to be cut off, right? Looks like Job's house is going to be cut off. So he's going right after Job. See, Job, you're right on this path. The Lord cuts off your descendants. He cuts off your house. And you've had your house cut off. And so, which of your children are going to produce more children? Oh, you don't have any. See, this is going right after a man who's lost his children. Somewhat cruel, you might say, on the part of Bildad. But Bildad is getting frustrated with Job because, Job, why don't you listen to me? Why don't you listen to me? Repent of whatever sin is that brought about you being cut off. Then we have another individual, Ahab. This is 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. And here, similar to Jeroboam, and I will bring evil upon thee and to take away thy posterity, all right, of the house of Ahab. So, in all three accounts here, these are evil kings. They did evil, and the Lord brought an end to them and their offspring. And so, the Lord did that. There's no question about this. And so, although these events happened after the time of Job, these are based on the truth. So, basically, the passage I read here came after the book of Job, but here is what the Lord is doing, as Bildad indicated he would do. All right, so his roots. Secondly, his remembrance. Verse 17, his remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. So here, dealing with the remembrance. No more remembrance of the evil ones, evil people, wicked people, and so on. We notice this as well in Proverbs chapter 10. So, Proverbs chapter 10. And verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Look at that. Solomon wrote this long after Job as well. Then we have a passage, two passages actually, that deal with Amalek in Exodus chapter 17, first of all. Fourteen. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So here's removing from him, putting out of remembrance. No more remembrance. Amalek. Likewise in Deuteronomy 25, same point here. Deuteronomy 25. And it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee, 25:19. Rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Don't forget, I'm going to forget Amalek. Don't forget that. All right, so here is this teaching here of no remembrance. They're going to be blotted out. Now, passage you don't have here, but if you look at Revelation 20, once again, we have this theme of blotting out. So, blotting out of the book of life. Blotting out of the book of life. And so we notice in Revelation 20, verse 15, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, believers will have their names in the book of life. But unbelievers will have their names blotted out of the book of life. So where will the names be? What book will their names be in? They won't be in any book. Follow that? They won't be in any book. Their names won't be in any book. And so this is the lot of the unsaved. They'll be blotted out. All right, so he's warning Job. Your roots be cut off, be no remembrance of you. By the way, do we have the book of Job in our Bible? Oh, we've got a remembrance of Job. See, so this is misapplied. It's misapplied. True, but misapplied. All right, then verse 18, as refuge. As refuge. So notice in here, verse 18, he shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. So chasing the unbeliever out of the world and driven from light. Driven from light. Again, Matthew 22 tells us about being banished to darkness. Think of the severe warning that the Lord gave, Matthew chapter 22. Where he mentions the unbelievers, 22:13. Then said the king, and this is in the parable, but said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the outer darkness. So the lake of fire, what will it be like? Be dark? Be hot? Darkness and heart. So you're not interested in Christ, the light of the world? Yeah. All right, you don't want the light of the world? All right, then I'll give you what you want. I'll give you darkness. I'll give you darkness. Eternal darkness. How would you like to live in, not in the lake of fire, but how would you like to just live in permanent darkness? No light, just darkness all the time. That in itself would be terrible, but then it's the lake of fire that will be burning, so... lake of fire, so cast in two. So this is what the Lord's going to do to unbelievers. He's going to baptize them in the lake of fire. He's going to cast them in. But this is what Matthew 3 is talking about, the baptism of fire. The Lord's going to immerse people in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever that don't receive him. So you see, getting back to the morning message, there's no neutrality. You're either a believer on your way to heaven, or an unbeliever on your way to the lake of fire, but there's no neutral ground here where, well, I'm not this, I'm not that, so I want to go to the neutral world here. There's no neutral world. It's either or. All right, and so as refuge, banished to darkness, Job said, or Bildad says here. Next, his relatives, verse 19. Verse 19, he shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. So son or nephew. So, well, by the way, Job, where are your sons? Well, they're all dead. I mean, this is such a piercing message that he has here. Or nephew, any relatives, son or nephew. So the Hebrew words here are Nin and Nekad. Nin and Nekad. So he's got a little poetry going on here. Nin and Nekad. But the rare word for son is Nin. But you probably heard the expression, the Spanish expression, El Nino. Ever heard of El Nino? That's that little wind that starts all the hurricanes. Ever heard of El Nino? Well, where did the Spanish get this word? From Hebrew. Nin, Nino, El Nino. Means what? Small child, small baby or something like that. Just a small wind that starts all the hurricanes. So on. So, anyway, learned a few things here about weather, but we'll go on. Write this down the margin of your Bible. All right, so... you're not going to have any relatives. No one's going to carry on your name. But we look there in chapter 42. See, 42. See, so 42, good place to begin the book of Job. You see how things end. But you also see how cruel these men were and not understanding the situation. But how the Lord dealt with all this. This is in 42:13. Where the scripture says, He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. All right, 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he did have offspring to continue on. You follow that? So, so when it comes down to this, we need to know our own heart. Is my heart right with the Lord? I don't need to hear what the naysayers say, because the Lord knows my heart. And he knows whether I have secret sins or not. And so what matters is what he says about me and thinks about me, not what others say, especially if they misapply the truths. And so Job held on. He held on to his position on all of this. We see that back there in chapter 2, verse 3, held on to his integrity. Held on to his integrity. All right, so we look at his roots, his remembrance, his refuge, his relatives. Now his record here. His record, verse 20. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were frightened. All right, before and after. So we're after, we look back and we're astonished. We're astonished by what he went through. We're astonished. And yet the Lord kept him breathing. All right, so the astonishment of the Lord's judgment on the wicked. We have several passages to deal with this. Let's notice this in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. So here's the passage that deals with madness comes when you disobey. Ever heard that message? All right, so chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. And verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. If they disobey the Lord, that's the land, the people of Israel, they're going to be an astonishment, a proverb, a byword, or a joke. They're going to be a joke. People are going to joke about, here, their God was Jehovah. And they claim that their God took them through the Red Sea. And their God did this, and their God did that. And look what happened to them. Look what happened to them. They're an astonishment, a proverb, a joke. So we have that. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Again, the Lord deals with his people. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 20. 7:20-22. All right. Especially in 20:21. Let's look there. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this thus unto this land and unto this house? It's the house of the Lord, the temple. Why has the Lord done this? He destroyed it through the Assyrians, and or the Babylonians rather. So why did he do this? All right, then Jeremiah has something along the same lines here as well. Chapter 25, Jeremiah chapter 25. Verse 9, Jeremiah 25:9, where he says, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. So here, this is before Jerusalem fell, but the Lord already decided Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and destroy Jerusalem. Jeremiah has to preach the message. And he says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. So he's going to use the wicked king of Babylon as his servant to bring about judgment on these disobedient people. And will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolations. So astonishment and a hissing. Kind of get the idea, maybe like booing or something like that. Hissing. All right, so here Job is receiving this message. Bildad is laying it out. So, Mr. Wicked Man, Job, you already have seen what God's done about your roots. You have no descendants. You've already seen what he's done. We know you're on this road of wickedness. You've got some secret sin. I'm trying to help you now, but this is your route. This is what's going to happen. And so, verse 21, we come down to verse 21. So here's a caution about Job's wickedness. So here, criticism of Job's words, that's back in 18, 1 through 4. Here we see the parallel now. Caution. A caution given to Job. So in this, his situation, this is a universal judgment on all. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. So here, the dwellings of the wicked. Here the universal truth is God judges sins. The wages of sin is death. That's Romans 3:23. We've looked at that. God judges sinners. He judges sin. And this is the situation. The dwellings of the wicked. He's going to destroy the dwellings of the wicked. And when the Babylonians came, he did destroy the city and the dwellings and everything. Likewise, later on, when the Romans came into Jerusalem in A.D. 70, they destroyed the whole city, flattened it all. The city, the temple, everything. So there is a reality to this. He destroys cities and homes and everything of the wicked. And then the last part of this is, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. So basically, the name of the place, the name of the place is him that knoweth not God. That's the name of the place. So it's going to be like there's going to be a sign. This is the name of this place. Him that knoweth not God. And so his address on the front of his house before it's destroyed. This is where he that knoweth not God lives. That's his name. That's his name plaque. That's what he has on the front of his house. He knoweth not God. That's what he's trying to say here. And that's the place. So, Job, it's clear you don't know the Lord. You're on your way to destruction. Everything in your life is going to be destroyed. We already see you're on this track. Things are being destroyed. Your family's destroyed. Your health is destroyed. Your house is going to be destroyed. Everything's destroyed. You're on this track. You better get off of this track before it's too late. This is a message. Now, that is a true message for an unbeliever. You better look around. You better get off this track of destruction here. However, Job knew the Lord. Let's look back there in 13:15. Job said, though he slay me, and it looks like he is, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. So trust in whom? Well, the one that brings salvation in the next verse. And I'm going to maintain mine own ways. In other words, I'm going to maintain that I'm innocent of any secret sin. But though he's slain me for whatever purposes, I'm going to trust in him. So you see, that's a serious statement of belief. Anybody can say, I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. Well, prove it. Prove it. Prove it with your life. Prove it. Prove that you love the Lord, that you believe in the Lord. Prove it. All right? And then notice in another passage, chapter 19, verse 25. Notice what Job says. This is after he gets excoriated by Bildad. He says there in 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see him. Here's a great passage on the resurrection of the body. And he knew that his Redeemer lives. It's present tense. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And so Job was trusting in the Lord, though he slay me. He believed his Redeemer lived. He believed he'd see his Redeemer again. So do you have that hope? You'll see your Redeemer. You'll see your Redeemer again, or will you see your judge Will you receive your Redeemer? That means you've been redeemed. Or will you receive your Judge, meaning you haven't been redeemed? You're going to see the Lord one of these days. So what will your status be? And then 42:10, it's back here to chapter 42 again. The scripture says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. The captivity of Job, where he was losing everything, looks like he was on the road of destruction. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So he not only blessed Job, he super blessed him. Think of that. All right, and so Bildad is on track concerning the wicked, but he's misapplied the truth. So there are two possible audiences here. There's the audience of the wicked who do not know the Lord, and this is coming down your path. Or there's the audience that knows the Lord, but they are going through some difficulties. Maybe they're going through difficulties without cause, or maybe going through difficulties because of cause as a believer. But you still have a Redeemer. You're going to see him. Still need to trust him. And you trust him in the darkness, in the difficulties, and so on. That's when the test is really on. Am I going to... It's easy to say, I trust the Lord when you don't have any challenges here. But here, nevertheless, Bildad laid this out, and we see that these are true relative to some, and it looks like it was true relative to Job, but really it wasn't, as we find out. So we've read chapter 1, we read chapter 42. We know how the book works out. But Bildad and Zophar and Eliphaz, they didn't read either, or they certainly didn't read chapter 1, and then they had to be dealt with in chapter 42. But here's a message here, and certainly he was being destroyed without cause, and the Lord there in John 15:25, he says, they hated me without cause. But we're neither Job or the Lord, so we might be going through difficulties, but we can trust in the Lord. He loves us even in the most difficult situations. Gotta keep that in mind. He loves us. But he's trying to get our attention. And he wants us to look to him. All right, so Bildad. He's done with his second round. Now it's time for Job to respond next time. So we'll see how Job responds in all of this. Our Father, we thank you for this scripture. Thank you for the life of Job and lessons that we can learn here. Help us to continue to look to what's going on in this book and examine our hearts to see about our lives. We pray that you bless us now and help us to grow in all this. We ask, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.